Good afternoon, Warsaw. How are you all? So, let me just quickly swap my slides over here. And I'll just load up this. I'm going to be risky and use the clicker, only because it's got this cool Star Wars lightsaber feature with the light. So I kind of like that. So let's do this. And ta-da. All right, cool. Got that. God, that worked. All right, so I'm really excited to speak to you today, mainly because I get to wear the Britney Spears headset, but also because I get to talk to you about building PC apps with UWP. So, quick show of hands, who's got a PC? Good, not as many as you as I would have thought, but I mean, we got 99% of the room. So, my name is Shane Chauhan. I'm a senior program manager, and I'm shamelessly plugging my Twitter handle in case you're interested in what I have to say. But also, please make sure if you like what you see, make sure you hashtag it with MSBuildTool. If you don't like what you see, do not hashtag it with the MSBuildTool, rule of thumb. And also, we have a feedback URL as well. So you can see across the screens to my left and my right here. They're there in case you can't see it. But also, we've got a QR code. Please note, this is a different URL. I thought I'd change it a bit so you get 5 options now. There are various levels of happiness you can be in my session. Hopefully, it'll be more on the really happy side. But we'd love to hear what you think. And so next time when we come here, we can make sure the content suits for you guys. So let's start with this slide. You've probably seen this slide in pretty much most of the sessions. But what I want to do is I just want to level set so you guys all get a great understanding of what the Universal Windows platform is. The Universal Windows platform is where we're investing our bet on Windows 10 applications. So that's from the small IoT devices all the way up to the largest Surface Hubs and mixed reality devices like the HoloLens. This includes, obviously, your mobile PCs and Xboxes, too. Now, the great thing about the Universal Windows platform isn't just the range of devices that it can target. The good thing here is, as developers, you've probably all faced some kind of moment where you sit and cry in a corner because things just aren't working the way you want because of DPI issues or user inputs are different or SDKs mismatch. Well, the great thing here is Universal Windows Platform is designed to help you build those apps really easily. So we have things to make sure that your user interfaces are adaptive. This means regardless of the device your app is running on, it's always going to look beautiful. It also has natural user input, so you can use ink, and I'll give you a demo of that later on. You can use speech and also face and things like that, which are cool. We have one SDK and toolchain. So how many of you have ever experienced DLL hell? Yep, this is a thing of the past with the UWP. And of course, once you've built your application, the great thing here is we have great ways for you to deploy your application. Whether you're an enterprise line of business with a Windows Store for Business, or whether you're a consumer app and you want to make sure your app is reachable through the whole world to the various markets that we offer. And finally, if you're interested in the cloud, UWP has been made in such a way that it's already cloud ready. The Microsoft Graph was just one of those examples that you saw earlier on in the keynote today. But today, I want to talk about the PC. The reason why I want to talk about the PC is because this is where we're placing all our investments. And I just want to make sure that you're well aware of some of the things that are coming here if you're building a Windows 10 application. So the first topic I want to talk about is expanded API surface. We're investing to make sure that all your APIs, whether you're a Win32 developer or any other developer that's using sort of PC APIs, we'll make sure the UWP APIs are in line with those. So you don't have to worry about, will this work? When I do my pull, will things work or will they not? We're working really hard to make sure that roadmap is going to be great for you. The other thing, we've opened the platform roadmap. So no longer are you guessing, is Microsoft going to do the things I want? Now we have everything open source. There's a website you can go to, and we'll put those in the links. And you can actually see the sort of things that we're working on in the platform. And you have the opportunity to influence this. So if you want to add a feature that's not currently in the platform, you're able to actually go and upvote or go and put that feature request in. An example of this was the SQL Connection client, which wasn't in the UWP. But thanks to people and the audience here voting, that is now available. Next, we have Intelligent Install. And I'll give you a bit more of a demo on this one, because I think it's really cool. But the idea is that you're no longer going to have to write sort of these installers that are very difficult to manage with the difference of the installs and the updates and uninstalling. This will make it way easier for you. And then the next one we have is better user telemetry. Now, because you're building a UWP, it means you're building an Apex. When you deploy your Apex through the store, whether it's the consumer or the store for business, we provide you all the telemetry and goodness for free. And I'll cover that as well in slides later on. And community collaboration. So how many of you have used our documentation? No one. You're so good. You don't need it. All right. Well, the good thing here is that if you think our documentation is good, then it's fantastic for us. If you think, actually, you know what? There's an improvement. I've got a better sample. Or, you know, this sucks. I'm crying in a corner because I can't make this work. Well, the good news is you can submit now a pull request through GitHub and actually make that change request to our documentation. This means that you're helping not just yourself, but others as well to make sure all our documentation is great for everybody. We also have other great tools like the Universal Community Toolkit. So the great thing about the UWP Community Toolkit is we're going to allow you to build apps really simple. Now, I'll do a demo on this later on, and hopefully I can convince you that it is really easy. And the final thing I want to do here is how many people here use charting in their apps? How many people here actually write applications, or are you just here for the free food? All right, just checking. So the key thing here is we're also in line, not just when we say apps, you know, they don't always have to be a consumer app. They can also be apps that are for enterprises too. And one of the key things we heard were people saying, we need charting, you know, like everything I do, whether it's got a dashboard, I'm trying to do telemetry, I just want to show a chart. Well, the good thing here is we've twinned with Telerik, and when you write a UWP application, you get the Telerik controls for free. So there's no charge on this. We've worked hard with Telerik to make sure that you get the best experience as a developer without the cost. So I'm sure you'll agree. I've already done a lot of talking. And actually, I prefer demos. So who wants to see some demos? Good, because if you're all going to say you want to see slides, this would be a very awkward moment. So that's great. So let's get to my slide machine. So I think the first thing I probably want to do is I want to show you something really cool. So the pen here is one of the examples when I was talking about natural user input. And I want to show you a demo that we have with Inking. Now I'm going to switch to my machine here. So here we go. And here I have an application that's going to use Inking. Now, of course, we all know selfies are the new thing, or maybe not the new thing anymore. But I'm going to take a selfie on stage, and I'm going to show you what we can do with some of these Inking APIs. Now, obviously, it's kind of not cool just to do a selfie by yourself. So, well, maybe it is. I don't know. I'm showing my age here. So I'm going to ask a couple of friends to come up on stage. So Vlad, Alex, come on stage. A round of applause, please. All right. So we're going to take a selfie together. But before we do, one second. I got something for you guys. Stay there. Don't go. So Vlad, you're looking very smart today, I noticed. So please put on that tie. Alex, you're always a joker, so put that on.
I'll try.
All right. Here we go. So we're going to take a selfie, right? All right. 3, 2, 1. As you can see, that's Vlad's happy face. All right, OK. So the good news here is, as you can see, our camera APIs work. But more importantly, I want to show you what we can do with Inking now. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to show you the Ink toolbar. So I'm going to select here, and I'm going to select red. Now, as I said, Alex is a bit of a clown in our team. So what I want to do is I'm just going to draw a circle to give him a nose. And watch what happens when I do this. We're going to use this shape recognition, and I've recognized that that was a circle, and I've given him a red nose. Now, of course, we all know some people have selfies with people, and there's always that one person that you have to have a photo with, but you don't really like. So the good thing here is we also have shape recognition of various other shapes, too. So I can just maybe remove Vlad.
And
thank you very much. And what I want to now show you is how simple this was to do. So you can see that the shape recognition, and even just getting Inking in my application was really simple. So the first thing I want to do is let's talk about how to get Inking it in my UWP. Well, actually, it's just this. With this one line of XAML, that canvas makes my application Ink ready. So you can't really get much simpler than one-line XAML. But what you saw also is I had an ink toolbar where I changed the color to red. Well, actually, that is also just one line of XAML. And all I do in my ink toolbar is I say, hey, make sure that this ink toolbar changes things in my ink canvas. And that's it. So now let's go to those things where we looked at the actual ink analysis of the shapes that I did. So you can see here I have my ink canvas, and I click the ink present. And the first thing I want to do is make sure that not everyone has a pen. So I want to make sure that no matter what happens, whether they're using the pen, they can use touch, or they could use the mouse to draw the shapes, I just want to enable that. Next, I want to make sure that I collect all the strokes. Every time someone does a stroke, I want to fire this event. And this is where I do all the heavy lifting. So I have the ink analyzer. The ink analyzer is like a big bucket. I'm going to put all my strokes into the ink analyzer. And once I've done that, I'm going to call analyze ink. Oh, sorry, and analyze async on the ink analyzer. This will say, hey, you know what? I know what I'm doing here. I know there's a change. And I'm now going to query those changes. And I'm going to ask for ink drawing types. This basically means I'm after shapes. But just remember that although I'm checking for shapes, actually, our analysis is so good, we can work out whether someone's writing a list, whether they're writing a sentence, whether it's bullet points, just by doing the usual checkbox and text. So you can do all these things in your application. And you can see, as I'm running through the various items, all I check to see is if it's a circle or an ellipse, add a nose, and if it's a rectangle or a square, remove a friend. So that's my first demo. What do you guys think of that? People going to add inking to their apps? Yes? No? He's like, yes, I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to go and buy a pen. Make sure it's one of these pens, yeah? Not the other funny device one. OK, now the next thing I want to show you here is I'm going to flip you over to this. Who here writes a WinForms application? A couple? How many of you write a WinForms application like mine where it's 500-odd megs in size? No, you're probably, that's pretty bad in terms of this. Well, I want to show you an application here that I've written in WinForms. And I've done a conversion using our desktop bridge. So you can see that it's using an Apex extension. It's not an executable. This means I don't have the usual MSI next, next, next finish process. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get this screen. Now, this is kind of interesting, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit install. Now, before this actually finishes installing my 500 meg application, I'm going to launch the application before it's finished. And what you're going to see is something what we're calling streaming install. What this means is I can interact with my app even though I haven't finished the installation process. So as I click install, and I might need a countdown for this because it's pretty quick. So are you with me? 3, 2, 1, go. OK, come on, quick, 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 launch. Go, 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 go. London. Oh. Yeah, can I get them all? OK, so you see here, clearly London didn't make it, but it's still installing. Now, if I wait, oh, it's now done, and I hit London, you can see. So what happened here is our installer was smart enough to realize that, hey, this content wasn't ready yet. So I'm just going to give you the placeholder that you'd put in your application. And straight away, when it was ready, I could click it, and it would load that content. So that's really cool. But we do more. Because here I have a version 2 of my application. Version 2 is basically similar to version 1, but I've made a few changes. What I've done here is I'm now enabling some of the UWP APIs in my Win32 application. And what's going to be really cool here is the installer is smart enough to realize just the changes. So when I hit install, it's going to be faster because it's only making the changes on the diffs. So it's not uninstalling the old one. It's not installing the new one. It's just saying, oh, there's a diff between these two. Let me just install those. So when I launch, I will get this. And if I click on these, you can see that now what I'm getting is the UWP map control right in my WinForms app. So what do you guys think of that one? Yeah, awesome. All right, and for my next party trick, go back here. I want to show you an app. Now, to be honest, I was slightly disappointed with the other demos that the other presenters did, because not one person showed you a Contoso or a Northwind application, right? How can we have a Microsoft demo without that? But for you guys, I did that. So here is the first Northwind application that we have in our, oh, let me make sure I hit build. Oh, it's going. This is going to be a Northwind application, which is a native UWP app. So you can see here, it's got some of the new features that we were talking about. So you can see we've got some fluent design. Now, of course, I've exaggerated the opacity here just so on that project as it shows. But you can see I've already got some of the great features in a UWP. So I've got some of the fluent design acrylic stuff there. So you can see I can see my desktop wallpaper behind that. I've got the map control here, so I can use my fingers and I can change that. So that's all dynamic. And let me just show you just a couple of features that we have here. And then we're going to do something crazy, right? So let's start with the acrylic stuff. So this here is a transparent window. So if I go back to my code, and you can see here, to get that acrylic brush, it's really simple. All I've done is added the acrylic brush from the namespace, and I've set here the background source to host backdrop. When I set it to host backdrop, what I'm saying is make sure I can see the desktop. If I just want it in application, then I can change it to just backdrop. I've made the tint color a little purple. And the tint opacity, just 10%. So you can see the desktop a lot more. I can obviously increase that so you don't see so much of the desktop. But that's just some of the basic stuff. Now, if you are an application developer that maybe writes some line of business apps, remember I talked to you about some of the Telerik controls that were given for free? Well, if I go to my order section here, you can just see one of the Telerik controls. And you can, I can do the usual, you know, sorting and filtering and things like that. But I wanted to show you some of the things you can do with the pen. So even if I take my pen and I don't want to, you know, play with this particular guy here, I can say remove that. All right, maybe not on this one. But what I want to show you there is just that how, if you've used the Telerik controls, you can see that actually the data grid is the same XAML that you're used to. So we don't change anything up on you. You can just basically go and do those changes yourself. And now one of my favorites is connected animations. So who here uses animations in their application? Yeah, we've got a few people. So animations are a really powerful thing. But please, please, please don't use animations like you're new to PowerPoint, like you've got like a million transitions going on. You want to make them really subtle. So let me just show you one of the animations we have here. When I click on this sprinkler, notice how that sprinkler just flies straight in. Now, the good thing here is that as an application developer, you can see the difference that the thing sliding, but when I hit back, I haven't put the animation in, so you can see it snaps. Now, the great thing about this is you can probably just keep clicking this all day long. And even if your application is really useless and your users don't like it, at least they'll give you a good rating just for this. So let me show you how easy it is to probably just play with this. Let's just do one more time. Isn't that cool? Oh, I love that. OK. So here you can see the code on the first page. This is where I had my list view at the bottom. And what will happen is I'm going to use a connected animation service to get the current view. Once I've got my current view here, I'm going to say to that view, I want to start preparing some UI elements to animate. So in this case, I'm going to prepare the part image, which is my UI element. You can see there. And I'm just going to give it a key. So in this case, the key I have is part image. And then I'm going to do the usual frame navigate. So this is like juggling. In the left hand, I have my first page. And in the right hand, I have my second page. And when I do the prepare to animate, I'm just going to basically, it's like throwing the balls up in the air. It's the same here. I'm saying these UI elements are the ones that I need to make sure I animate. And when I go back on the other side, so once the page is loaded, what I then do is I use a connected animation service for the current view. And with those, I grab the animation, the part image, so the same key. And then I call try start. And this will automatically take care of all the goodness for you. So you don't have to worry about where things land. All you just say is, hey, I want this element on this page in this place. And our system takes care of it for you. So now, the final thing I want to show you is this, the loyalty page. Yes, isn't it a beautiful thing? So you can see here, the application developer of Northwind didn't quite do a great job. But I'm going to show you how we can do some really cool things with the, you know, the UWP community toolkit. So I want you all to be very honest now. Who here has copy and pasted code?
Who here has copy and pasted code that doesn't belong to them? Everyone's like, hands down. Yes, one honest man. Don't worry, we'll blur your face out on camera. Well, I'm going to show you that it is okay to copy and paste. And it's taken me years to perfect this technique, and I'm about to show you a copy and paste demo. I'm going to build my UI purely from copy and pasting, with a few tweaks, maybe with bindings, but that's it. So what's more adventurous is I won't run it till the end. So if it doesn't compile, I've just proven I can't copy and paste, which would be kind of embarrassing. So let me show you this. It's the UWP Community Toolkit. This is a toolkit developed by the community. So it's by developers, and it's designed for developers. So you can see here, I've just got a bunch of controls in here. I've got some of the notifications. And by the way, the notification APIs have come directly from the Microsoft notification team. They saw the value in this, so they put that in there. We've got some animations using composition. We have services. If you are one of those line of business applications that must have Facebook in there, this will make it so much easier. And we have some helpers as well. So you can work out, in this case, you can see when I click the system one, I've got a sample here. It tells me what I've got. But in this case, what I'm interested in is the good old master details. So you've all seen this control before, right? Now, you can see I've got the XAML here. And you can see I've got the code as well, if I'm really interested, and some documentation too. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy and paste. So let's grab this guy here. You know, I'm putting my career on the line by copy and pasting and hoping this works. So let's see what happens here. So you can see, copy and paste item number one, right? So there are a few things, like I said, I need to change. For instance, I don't have a, my binding is going to go to orders. Now here you can see on the master side, so this is the item on the left that you saw in here. I want to make sure that this actually represents people in Northwind. So I'm just going to probably remove that, and I'm going to change my binding. Binding to ship name. I'm going to remove this too. OK, so I'm done with the things on the left. Now let's do the things on the right. So when I select an item in the masters, I need to change the details. So I'm going to remove all these. I'm going to make this a grid. OK, so I'm going to go back here. Now, I already know what I'm after. Luckily, this has got a search. So I'm going to go to the radial progress bar. Here we go. I'm going to click this. Now, watch how cool this feature is. This makes copy and pasting even more cooler than what it has been before. Because normally you'd copy and paste stuff, and then you'd have to move it around because it doesn't look quite right. Well, if you look at the XAML here, notice that the value is zero. Now I'm going to go back to my properties. I'm going to change the slider a little bit. I think I want it slightly thicker. I'm going to change the width to 200 by 200. I actually kind of like the light gray, so I'll keep that. But notice that the XAML has dynamically changed to match the properties. So now it's no longer zero, it's 54. So this means that when you're copying and pasting, it's pretty easy. You get where I'm going here, right? So now I've got this radial progress bar. I don't need this. And my value, I probably shouldn't. I mean, people here still hard code values, like performance, 100%. So let's going to change that to loyalty. And actually, I'm going to, just so you can see the changes, I think it's probably a good idea for me to probably put a text block in there with a text also binding to loyalty. Two, and just so you can see it, font size, 32, not too big. All right, so I'm going to run this application. Now, if this works, I'm going to ask for a round of applause and loads of pluses and smiley faces on this one, on that URL. If this doesn't work, then we'll just pretend this never happened and just don't click anything anywhere and use the toolkit and we'll figure it out later. So here we go. Come on, just work. You know, this is the thing with Visual Studio. It compiles pretty quick on these Surface books, apart from when you're doing a demo and you're dying to know that it's going to work. Then it decides to stress you out. All right, are we ready for this? Keep my fingers crossed. Woo! Yes! Cool! All right. But wait, there's more. You've only seen master. Let me show you details. So you can see here, you can see here that as I click through, the number's changing and I'm binding directly with the radio control. So these are just a few of the demos that I want to show you, where you can clearly see that it's okay to copy and paste. It clearly is. So now that's part of the demos done. I want to show you, I want to actually just start talking about some of the things that were in the keynote here. So let's look at the Fluent Design System. You saw the video at the end of the keynote. It looked really funky. But I just want to show you some of the great things that are coming out of Fluent Design and just how you can prepare for them, even if you're not going to use them in your application straight away. Fluent Design consists of 5 key elements. So you can see them here, light, depth, motion, material, and scale. And I'm going to just give you the 10 to 20 second blurb on each one, just so you get an idea of where we're going. And then if you want more details, you'll see the links later on. So let's start with light. So why do you use light? Well, light is great for helping you drive focus. It's also good in a way to romance the users, turn the lights down, you know? It's that sort of thing. So it's meant to really help users just find their way. And you're doing that as a developer by making sure that you're shining a light where they're looking. This is really powerful if you're using a mixed reality device where they don't have the notion of a mouse. Next, depth. Have you ever been like on someone's machine, or even your machine, where you've just seen so much data that it's very difficult to know what they should be looking at? Well, as a developer, what you can do is use depth to your advantage. You can bring things to focus, so therefore you can show the user what they should be looking at and make them productive, and then swap out the depth, as you can see around in our little demos here, to help the users then focus on the next item that you're interested them in, driving the right workflow for you. Next is motion. This allows you to become the movie director of your application. You saw my very not so great example of a connected animation, but you can see here there are some really great examples where you can build cinematic sort of experiences just through your application. And one of the ones is material. So in my Northwind app, you saw I had acrylic. That is just one of the few materials that are going to be coming into Fluent Design. And we're still working on these to make sure that people have an emotional attachment. So when they see something, they feel like that's a real thing, not something that's digitized. And finally, scale. So I told you that Windows 10 has a ton of devices, you know, from IoT to HoloLens. And the idea is that our platform before was always based on a 2D surface with a 2D UI. Well, scale allows you to build your applications and not have to worry about some of these things, because Windows 10 Fluent Design takes care of them. So buttons will appear slightly bigger, maybe in a place where it's more touch-centric, or they'll have the light already on them. So if you're in a scenario where you're in a mixed reality environment. So those are the real 5 core pillars of Fluent Design. Now you've built your beautiful application, and it's time to actually get it into the store and into the hands of other people. So I just want to talk briefly about the investments that we're making in the store to make sure that you're successful. Because for us, we need our store to be great so you guys can then also make the most of that. So these are the pillars: discovery and reach, the commerce platform, and developer center. So Dave talked about the 500 million active devices across 200 markets. This means that your application can pretty much go anywhere without you having to leave your office. We'll be bringing in apps, movies, music, games, and even physical goods will be coming in the future. This is great for you, especially if you're thinking, OK, well, you know, I want to have people impulse buying. If you're one of those impulse buyers, there's a chance that they may see your app at the same time they're looking for something else. And then the other thing is the promotions. So we have 2.5 billion impressions a month on the store. This means that people can discover your apps pretty easily because the Windows surfaces are spread far and wide across Bing and the shell. Now, the commerce platform also enables you to do an in-app purchase, trials, bundles, and downloadable content. And remember, this isn't just for consumers. If you're a store for business, this also applies. If you're selling things in a suite, you can use these particular features. And finally, the developer center. So I'm going to show you a few screenshots of what you'll see in the store. But if anyone here claims that they write apps that never crash, I would love to meet them today and take a selfie. So we all know apps crash. It's just nature. It's just how it works, you know? Apart from my Hello World one and my Northwind demo, things normally crash. Well, the key thing here is understanding why did it crash? How can I help that user? It's even better if you can find the crash before the user experiences it too often, so they still fall in love with your application. So, stop clicker, no. So what I want to do is I just want to show you the product description page of just one of our apps in the store. So who here plays Forza? Who here would like to play Forza? Oh, a few more. It's out over there, but don't go until I finish my session. In Vlad's session, you can go, it's fine. So let me show you the product description page. What I'm trying to demonstrate here is that even when they're purchasing an application or even using an application, you can still make it really entertaining and cinematic. So let me just show you the one that we use for Forza. Before he carries on. So you can see there that was just an example of Forza, which is actually a universal Windows platform app. That's the same app that's on the Xbox and on the PC. But that was just an example of, actually, product description pages still don't have to be boring. And we've done investments in the store to make sure that users are more enticed to install your applications. Now, the final section of of this session, I want to just show you what you get when you use the store. So here you can see this is the data for the UWP Community Toolkit. But I just want to show you things like how we can see that data and how you can then help influence how to make changes in your application. So you can see here, I get my acquisitions, my installs, my usages, and which countries they've come from, plus the demographic of my users. This is really important, because I want to know how are people using this. And then using the engagement services in the store, if you find that a certain demographic is using your application, you can target them directly and make sure that your application appears on one of our surfaces. What's more important is we can even help you understand if your user has installed the app but hasn't launched it in 3 weeks, you can send them a push notification saying, hey, you know what, you haven't used my app in 3 weeks. Is everything OK? And then see if they'll launch the app again. And finally, if they've acquired your application and they are a loyal user and you get that information here, you can offer them discounts on maybe a future product. So the actual Dev Center gives you all this information. So you can see here I've got usage of not just new users, but also the active users and the ones that I've got retention with. So they're loyal customers. You can also see what versions they're on. And finally, health. So like I said, it's really important to understand how is your application running. And what this is going to show you is how many times it crashes and how many times it gets exceptions. And this is really important for you to know, did you do a good job or are you pretty sucky as a developer? You know. So here we go. And the final bit here is, if things do crash, the great news is we give you that stack dump, so you can then go monitor that afterwards. Now, I've given you a load of cool information today. I've shown you demos with selfies and Fluent Design. And really, what I want you to do today is just take some of that information away and just give it a try. You'll be surprised how easy it is to do. So with that, thank you very much. You guys have been absolutely fantastic to present to.